Evening to Daniel chapter number one. Daniel chapter number one. We have just a brief thought that God has blessed us with, and I don't want to say it's not deep. I don't want to say it's too deep, but it's just right, because God gives us what is just right, and it doesn't happen by accident, does it? I'm thankful that He does all things on purpose. We run into that a lot, where you hear someone say, "Well, He did it on purpose," and they automatically think that it's a bad thing. When we were younger, I remember I have a little brother who I love, and he's actually my bigger little brother now because I'm short. But we used to play this game, and I'm sure if you have a brother here, you've all played this game. Who can hit with the least amount of force? Who can give just a gentle tap? And I was a good big brother, so I'd always let him go first. So what he would do is he would come up and he would hit me in the arm. As Brother Ethan's like, "Well, how do we do this? How do we play this game again?" But what you would do is you would take and you would hit someone as light as you can. And I'm telling you what, he won every time. It was amazing. Because after he hit me, well, I would accidentally on purpose hit him as hard as I could. Now he's bigger than me, and I try not to remind him of what I used to do. But they would. They would say, "Well, you did that on purpose." And in our mindsets, we hear that we do things on purpose, and we automatically think it's a negative thing. But when you do something on purpose, really what you're doing is you're just doing what you intended to do. You have intended to set out and do something with purpose. And that's exactly what it means to do something on purpose. You have a purpose for it. One man said you should never use the word in a definition that you're trying to describe. Well, I'm not that smart, so I'm going to use it, amen, because I know you know exactly what I'm saying. When we do things on purpose, that's exactly what we do. We do it on purpose. As Landon likes to say, he likes to say he accidentally did it. And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because I wanted to." And I said, "But that's not how it works. So you don't accidentally do something because you wanted to do it. When you do something on accident, it wasn't intended to do. Like, I accidentally rear-ended somebody one time. It was completely on accident. And they accidentally tried to sue me. Well, that's not how it happens. They intended to get after my insurance." So when we talk about accident and on purpose, today in this world, they look at it as, when you do something on accident, well, we can just let it go because, hey, it will never happen again, right? But when you do something on purpose, it's automatically a bad thing. It's automatically negative. I'm thankful that He saved me on purpose, amen? I'm thankful that it wasn't an accident, that it wasn't just a passing by, fly-by-night sort of thing, that He intended to save me, that He knew where I was going to be that night He saved me. And I praise God for that. But if you found Daniel chapter 1 and you would stand with me just for a few moments, we'll get the thought out and we'll give you what we have, and then we'll head to the house. We see here in the book of Daniel, very familiar scripture, and I'm just going to go ahead and start in the first verse and read down to about the 10th verse. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the king, children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed," that's where we're going to focus, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse liking than the children which are of the sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. We're going to go ahead just a few more. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink, and let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and thou seest deal, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in that matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared all fairer and fatter in the flesh, all the children which should eat the portion of the king's meat. Father, we thank you. What a blessing it is to be here, Lord God. What a blessing it is to be in your house. What a blessing is it to be yours. God, I pray that, Father, you would touch each and every one here. Be with the pastor and his family as they're away, Lord God. Be with those who are traveling. Be with our sick, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be with our country. Lord, I just ask that, God, you would have your will this evening, and that, Father, I would not do nor say anything out of your will. That it would not be an opinion, Lord God. That would be in opposition to what you have, Lord. But, Lord, I would give the truth, your truth. Lord, I thank you for all that you give. Now, clean me up. Remove me. Use me, Lord God, in your Son's sweet and heavenly name. And amen. You may be seated. Now, I understand here. We understand that God definitely had his hand on Daniel, Ananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You say, well, why is that, brother? Here's the thing. If you are fairer and fatter eating pulse than not eating some good steak, that obviously was a gift from God. Amen. You see here that Daniel made a choice and he purposed within his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now, what I want to preach on this evening, and I'm sure you've all heard the message preached before. I'm sure you've heard the title, but for a little bit, sake of a few moments, I've got really nothing new to preach, and that's a good thing, amen. But we see here what I want to preach on is serving God on purpose. Serving God on purpose. I don't want to be one of them accidental people who just serve God every so often, amen. I think then I know for a fact that we need to be wholeheartedly submissive unto our Lord and Savior, shouldn't we? We've recently been talking and praying and studying with Landon about being obedient to his parents and being obedient to God and being obedient in whatever he does as far as his walk as a young Christian. And I think and I know today that as us as Christians, we must be obedient to whatever he says and to whatever he commands and to whatever he puts in our paths. Isn't that correct? We see here that Daniel is a young man. I don't know exactly his exact age. We can make a speculation, give some liberty on it, but he is a young man just like these three men. They've been brought out of their home. Could you imagine that? You've been taken away. You have been studying your whole entire life. You've been brought up. You've been told this one thing your entire life, Brother David, that hey, you are going to serve God. You're going to serve Him with your whole heart. And we're going to put you before Him. We're going to make sure that you know the laws and the commandments. And then all of a sudden, it's really not all of a sudden, but you are aware that you will no longer be sleeping in your own bed. As Brother Kim even talked about it. Sometimes you just miss your bed, don't you? You realize that you're not going to be able to see mom and dad, or you're not going to be able to see the grandkids, or the nieces and nephews, or the friends, because, hey, you are so far away from them that you couldn't even get any contact with them. Now, here's the thing about that. That means that you might have some liberty to do whatever you want to do. That's what people do, don't they?
Right.
They take advantage of the situation. It's unfortunate that today you would only find four of those young people that were taken out, and they didn't take advantage of the situation by way of breaking the laws and the commandments that God had set up, but they took advantage and they purposed in themselves that they would still serve God with their whole heart. I don't want
be one of those, I guess we use the term now, snowflake or butterfly wing people, where when something bad starts to happen, we just quit. We just stop. No more. I don't want a piece of this. I don't want that blessing that God has promised me because things are just so hard right now. I'm thankful that we're just passing through. Right. I'm not setting up being. When we were just talking as we were walking in about mortgage rates, can you believe that? And we've been talking about things that we've been praying on. And I had said this. I said, you know, I love my house, and I really like my interest rate. And I wanted to say this. I said, but it's not going to last forever. But I didn't say that. Let me tell you this. It's not going to last forever.
Right.
We are promised on that day, aren't we? Whether it's by the grave or the rapture, hey, we're going to be with Him.
Amen.
But we see here that Daniel, they remembered that promise.
Or they remembered the promise that was given to him. They remembered the commandments that was given to him. I want us to understand here, just for a few moments before we really get into the message, that there are a few things that we must remember that Daniel had here that he used and applied to his situation. You know, we are given tools. We are given directives. We are given this blessed book to wherever we have any question, we can find the answer to. Any question that we have, whatever question that we have. And you know, the thing is that, I mean, over the span of thousands of years this was written. I believe in the King James Bible, amen. But it's 2022 right now. So you say, well, brother, how in the world could I have questions today that this Bible answered? Well, it does. This is a living book. It doesn't change, but it has all the answers. But I want to understand here, I'm pretty excited this evening just because of the fact that I'm getting to preach this message, because I've been thinking about this. What am I purposing in my heart to do for the Lord? Or am I serving God on purpose? Or is this something that I'm just doing just because it's become a custom? You ever get accustomed to certain things? Traveling, for instance. You get accustomed to that. I was telling Brother Kim, hey, technically, by some law, he's been here over 30 days. He is a resident of Indiana. We legally cannot kick him off this land without getting an eviction notice. He said, well, I was just in Minnesota before that for over 30 days. Well, you were a resident there, and they couldn't kick you off that land without getting an eviction notice. We have that castle law. It's amazing, isn't it? Somebody goes into your house and they set up shop and you can't kick them out for however long it takes to get that conviction or eviction notice. We become accustomed to certain things. And here's the thing, though, is Daniel did not want to get accustomed to the ways of his situation. He knew who his God was. He knew who he served. He remembered where he came from. I like what Brother Daniel Freed, or Dr. Daniel Freed said this. He said, without God, it is meaningless. And it doesn't matter your position without submission. It does not matter your position without submission. So we must be fully vested in what we do and what we are here for before we do anything else. If I was to ask you this right now, right here, right now. And I'm not stopping the message. This is actually me getting into the message. How invested are you? How invested are you? What is your purpose for being here? The greatest, one of the sweetest, most beautiful verses in the Bible. We hear about a purpose. We hear in Ruth 2:16, and it says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Remember that when Boaz told those men to go out and, hey, just drop some here and drop some there. Drop some handful of purpose. Make sure she gets what she needs and then some. Bible says that His grace is sufficient for us. You know what that means? It's exactly what we need and so much more. Daniel remembered that God would give him exactly what he needed and so much more. We understand here that in this attention, an intention is a set reason why it was why Daniel had, why these men, they purposed in their heart. First of all, we see that they wanted to serve God and obey Him no matter what. That should be our purpose. That should be our intention. I've got four things real quick, and then we'll get into the message. It says, first of all, we see that their environment has changed. Verses 1 through 3, if you look at it real quick, we see that it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. We see that the Lord gave him Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And we also see in verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. He wanted the best of the best. But if you take the best of the best from one place and you put them in a different place, guess what you're doing? You're changing their environment. Sometimes, hey, we got to remember that even though the environment changes, we don't change. You see, this is not, like I said before, this is not where I'm ending up. This is where we're passing through to. Remember, in 70 years, something happened. After right here, 70 years, something happened. Say, what happened? Well, read your Bible, you'll find out. There's a cliffhanger right there. No spoiler alerts. Is that still a thing? I don't know. But what I'm trying to get at is this, is that their environment changed. They were taken from their home, transported to a foreign land. But also, not only look at their environment, but look at their education. You often hear this, they were the cream of the crop. They were the best there was. I mean, they knew things. They knew different languages. They knew the law. They knew things that even their parents probably didn't know because they were educated. They were brought up right, I guess some would say. And here's the thing about this, is that king wanted to exploit that education. By changing their environment, remember, their environment was not just their setting. They changed their names. Each one of those names meant something. And I had it written down at one point what Daniel meant, what Ananiah meant, what Azariah meant, what Mishael meant. And all four of those names had references to honoring God. But what they did was is they gave them different names like Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What those names were representative of was their gods, little g. They wanted to change everything about them, but they wanted to exploit everything that they had learned. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? They want to change everything that we believe in, but they want to exploit everything that we know for their own good and their own purpose. That sounds like the world, doesn't it? But not only this, not only their environment, their education, but their eating. But their eating. Now, you would think about this, that they gave a portion of the king's meat, the best wine that they had to drink. Can I ask you something real quick? And I believe in Levitical law that they were given certain things that they could not eat. Can you tell me exactly what the king's meat was? Doesn't say, does it? I don't know what it was. It, for all we know, brother, it could have been unclean. Used for the sacrifices to their gods. If that's not defiling your body, if that's not going against what God has told you to do, then I don't know what is. But you'll notice this, that hey, they took more than four people away. But only four people stood up for God. Only four people would not defile themselves. Only four people purposed in their hearts that they would not go against God's law. Now here's the thing about that also. With this education, this environment, and what they were presented to eat for with. Those four men who, they didn't raise a big fuss. Actually, they came to them without a problem, but also a solution. I think that's what we need to do also. When we have a problem, we need to remember that
They say, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. We can't have this meat. We can't have this wine. You bring pulse. You bring the lentils. You bring this, and we'll show you what our God can do. And at the end of 10 days, hey, because remember, they waited a few years. I think it was 3 years before they actually came face to face with the king. But we see here that it says 10 days. And now if we fare better, this is what we're going to eat. Now God had put that Daniel on the heart of that prince of the eunuchs, and he said, fine, okay. With some dismay, but okay, we'll do it. And guess what happens? They were fairer and they were fatter. Sometimes we want to do things that we want to do, but guess what? It's not what God wants us to do. So that means that the purpose that we have purposed in our hearts is not the purpose that God has purposed for us. That means we don't do what God wants us to do. Even though it looks good. Even though the flesh says, hey, what's the worst that can happen? Well, we know what the worst that can happen is. Those other ones who ate of the king's meat, guess what? They didn't look so good. They didn't look as good. You know why? Because their hearts were so full of God that it was showed out on the outward side for Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Ananias. I want us to look real quick, and I'm not, like I said, not going to try to take up much time. But I want us to look at three things real quick in this purposing of serving God. And serving God on purpose. What we must do in, I guess you would say, the same manner as these four did. First of all, they kept separate. We see in verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability and tempt them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Hey, they already looked as if they were separate. Two things here we find. First of all, we know that there was something different about them when the king and the Babylonians came in. We knew that there was something different because they said, we want this one and that one and that one and that one. When the world looks at you and I, I'm not saying we're better than them, because praise God, we're nothing. Right. But there should be a difference. Right. We should be separate. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Right. We understand that we were aliens. We understand that we were dogs. The Bible talks about us Gentiles. But we've been grafted in. We've been adopted. What a blessing it is to know that, hey, I am separate. I am different. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When I was growing up, I just wanted to be normal. I don't want to be normal. I don't know what normal is anymore. You analyze what normal is today, and it's everything as far from God as you can get. Abomination. Lasciviousness. Lust of the flesh. Just the lowest of the low. But here's the thing is, just because we're separate doesn't mean we got to be distant. And then here's what I mean. I'm not saying partake in what they're doing. But we must go and tell them about Jesus. Brother Kemp's like, that's what I do every day, brother. Get on board. And I do, and I love it. I know that's not what you're saying, but I'm using you as a reference because you're right there. And that's a blessing. That's an encouragement. We should be separate. We should be different. We should be His. It's unfortunate when those people say, hey, me and God got our own thing going on. Hey, no, you don't. Right. You ain't got your own thing going on. Right. Many members made up of what, one body. We find here that they kept separate, even though they were removed from their home. Home was not removed from them. See, I take my Lord everywhere I go. He's mine. He lives in me. You ever thought about that? And we make things so I guess you would say, complicated at times. We recently had a conversation on the complexity of salvation, and it was about a 5-minute conversation. So what? Tell me about this salvation. Well, Jesus. Well, what about him? He loves you. And he died for you. And you want to be saved, you got to know that. And you got to believe that. And you have to know you're a sinner and that you're lost. Well, what does it mean to be lost? Exactly. Huh? I'm not lost. Well, where are you going? I don't know. I am lost. Kind of complicated, isn't it? Hey, here's the thing. If you know anything about, like I said, I'm from Alexandria. Population of like 7.5. Not a big group. We have red gold tomatoes, amen. And the world's largest ball of paint. Those are two things that we're known for. And the Gaithers. The Gaithers are up there too. But that's what we're known for. So when it comes to extreme knowledge of what's going on out beyond that, that didn't happen until after I went to the army. And you talk about a culture shock. You talk about just a world of, wow, what in the world exactly? I felt so lost. But I have never felt as lost as I was before I got saved. We make things so hard. You know why we make things so hard? Because we're human and we're flesh. Not only were they separate, we see that they remembered their teaching. We understand here in Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Listen, many of those brought over got complacent. Many of those had gotten comfortable, and they ruined their testimony. If we don't separate ourselves, how are we supposed to be an influence? How are we supposed to be a representation and an ambassador? How are some people supposed to wonder what's going on with them? You see, that's the first thing that we ask is, what's going on with them? There's a question in their minds. But not only were they separate, they took a stand. Look at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You are a slave. You have been brought against your will to a new land. You are told what to do. You're told where to stand. It sounds like the military a little bit to me. You're told when to get up. You're told when to go to bed. But you have been allotted a portion of the king's meat. Not the prince's. Not the servants, but the king's meat. And you say no. Well, he would be beaten. He would be killed. He would be thrown in prison. What do you think you would have done? Oh yeah, I would have said no. I can't eat that. I've never come face to face with something like that, but I would pray that I would love my Lord and that I love my Lord enough to be able to say no. They took a stand. We are coming face to face today with an evil that's getting worse and worse. Perilous times aren't coming. They're here. We know that. They're proud. They're boasters. Lovers of themselves. Professing a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. disobedient to parents. We see it every day, don't we, Brother David? We come face to face with it. Brother Eric, it's amazing at what is going on, isn't it? And we think to ourselves, why is this happening? Because they're lost. Because the gods of this world would have them blind. We understand that. But can I ask you this? Would you be like Daniel? Would you be like Paul? And take a stand. Remember, Paul pressed towards the mark. He had an intended place set. That's a pretty good purpose, isn't it? They took a stand. We see here that they stood against two things in particular. First of all, they stood against themselves. How many times a day do you have to tell yourself, don't do that? How many times a day do you have to walk away from a conversation? How many times a day do you have to turn off that radio or that TV because something comes on that you weren't expecting? You say, well, it doesn't happen a lot to me. Hey, it will though. Something will pass by, and you have to make sure that you keep yourself in check. Now, God does that. I believe that. He does. But we're accountable, aren't we? Not only did they stand against themselves, but they stood on faith. Galatians 5 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against flesh. And those are contrary to those, the one to the other. And so that you cannot do the things that ye would." But not only that, not only did they take a stand, not only did they separate themselves, but here's the last thing. Their faithfulness showed. Remember at the beginning of this, I told you, I said, God's hand must have definitely was on it. Not must have been, but was definitely on this, because they ate nothing but soups and lentils and grains, and they were fatter than those who ate of the king's meat. You may say, well, brother, that sounds like a bad day. You give up something that you want for something that you think you need, or you do need. See, God doesn't always give me what I want, but he always gives me what I need. And that should show, shouldn't it? See, he wasn't ashamed of me, and I'm not ashamed of him. Amen. I'm not going to deny the fact that I have failed him time and time again, but he has proven to be faithful. And I want that to show. And in that, what I mean is this, is that my, truthfully, the faith is not my own. It's everything that he's given me. He has increased my faith. He has grown me in his word. He has allowed this church to flourish. And it's showing. But it needs to show even in the hard times. In verses 12 through 21, if you look through it, and I won't read that all. Excuse me. But you find the difference. You find the repercussion. You find the results of what's of these four who stood for God and the rest who didn't. In these chapters, you find the faithfulness that showed when the three were thrown into the fiery furnace, and when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he would not fail to pray three times a day. We see that our faithfulness shows that even when the last dollar in the bank account, or even when there's not much food in the cupboard, when he told us, and we must remember that he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You say, well, there have been times where I didn't have anything to eat. I'm thankful to remind this is that, you know, we're not in this alone, right? We're not, I get it's a personal salvation. But we're not in this alone. And I'll give you this, why we're not in this alone. If we were not in this alone, or if we were in this alone, your pastor would have been worrying about who he's going to get to preach this evening. If we were in this alone, the missionaries would worry about how they're going to. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure they do. But how are they going to get that support? If we were in this alone, there'd be no one here.
Right.
Because everyone is here because someone told them about the Lord.
Right.
Everyone is here because someone else. Someone else took a stand. And someone else showed their faithfulness. We are here. If you think about it, we're all here because of what Daniel did. We're all here because of what Moses did. But the main result is we're here, really, because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
Now, he was alone. Ultimately alone. But he did it. For all of us. As we come to a close, and I know we have prayer tonight, I would challenge this prayer also. What is your purpose? Are you serving God on purpose? If you're here and lost, listen to me. It's not an accident that you're here tonight. But it's also not going to be an accident that you walk out without knowing the Lord. Like I said, like the Bible, he told Samuel, he said, they didn't reject you. They rejected me. Purposefully. That was every intention to say no. This past week I preached, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago, I preached at a youth conference, a three-day youth conference, and this young man in the back, every single night, Brother Kemp, every night, he would raise his hand saying he's lost. And I told them, I said, I will not call you out by name. I will not do that. I will not force you to come down, but I will tell you this, that if you know for a fact you are lost, then it's time to get saved. Brother Kemp, the last night, just tore me up. The last night he came, and let's say this is the pew. Brother Eric, he started walking. And he got to right where the edge of the pew meets. I mean, it was like right here in the back. And he said, no, and he sat back there. I'll be honest with you, I started crying. And he knew it was, and he knew what I was doing. Almost without persuasion, even to be a Christian. Yeah. Almost doesn't come.
Yeah, right.
You can't claim it was an accidental rejection. We all know the purpose. We all